This morning, we celebrate what is traditionally called Palm Sunday. This is the Sunday that we remember and commemorate the triumphal entry of our Lord Jesus Christ into the great city Jerusalem. And in this morning's message, what I would like to do is I would like to look at the events. I want to look at the events that Jesus experienced just before his death. When Jesus came into Jerusalem, he came into town as a king. And he was hailed and revered by many. And it would not take long, but the same people, the very same people that hailed him as king, would soon reject him and turn from him and cry out for his execution and his death. What happened during that week that caused so many people to turn their backs on our Savior and reject him? I'm sure for the disciples and for those that have been following Jesus for the last 3.5 years, that excitement filled the air. After all this time, they could finally see Jesus being heralded as the king. And they knew that they were witnessing firsthand many of the events that had been foretold by the prophets of old. Like I said earlier, by the end of the week, many people would reject Jesus and call for his death. Some of those that he was the closest to and that he loved dearly, they would reject him and they would deny that they even knew who he was. One in particular would deny that he had any association with Jesus whatsoever. For so many people, their hearts would be turned completely around. They went from acceptance to rejection, from love and devotion to betrayal and denial, and from denial to the calling for and the witnessing of his death. Are there lessons that we can learn so that we can prevent ourselves from falling away? Are there lessons that we can learn that we can prevent ourselves from rejecting Jesus? And by rejecting Jesus, I mean both individually and personally, and as a nation. Are we turning our backs on Jesus Christ? As a people, are we quick to run and hide? And are we rejecting Jesus every day? Are we rejecting him over and over and over again by the way we live our lives? Let's take a look at his triumphal entry into the great city. And I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, we're going to look at verses 28 to 35. Luke 19, starting at verse 28. After he had said these things, he was going on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And when he approached Bethpage and Bethany, near the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you. There as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one yet has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord has need of it.' They brought it to Jesus, and they threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it." Jesus is getting closer and closer to Jerusalem. And as he does, he's getting ready to make his entrance. And if you remember from our scripture reading, according to John's account, Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead just a very short time earlier. And I'm sure that the news of the resurrection of Lazarus traveled very fast, as I'm sure it would even yet today. And Jesus instructed his disciples, and he told them exactly what he wanted them to do and exactly what to say. And the reason he did this is because he knew full well what was going to happen. And let's continue still in Luke 19. Let's look at verses 36 to 40. And he was going, as he was going, they were spreading their coats on the road. As soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out." And as Jesus is riding into Jerusalem, we see a very jubilant crowd. These people had waited for so long for their Messiah, and they were confirming their celebration, and they were saying that Jesus is the King of Kings. They'd seen many miracles. Some had witnessed the blind receiving their sight, the lame walking. Some had even witnessed the resurrection of Lazarus. They knew this was their Messiah. And this bothered the Pharisees. This bothered the religious leaders of the day. They didn't like it. They were the ones that was normally in charge. They are the ones that normally look so righteous to the people. And I love it. I just love it when they tell Jesus, they say, "You need to tell these people to be quiet." He says, "If they do, the stones will cry out." You know, if they didn't believe he was the Messiah, what would have happened if they just stood there and yet they could hear the stones singing praises to the King of Kings? And as we read on, let's continue in Luke chapter 19 and let's look at verses 45 to 48. Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling, saying to them, "It is written, 'And my house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a robber's den." And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the leading men among the people were trying to destroy him. And they could not find anything that they might do, for all the people were hanging on to every word he said. Apparently, from this passage of Scripture, you can see that Jesus was not too worried about making friends and hurting anybody's feelings. He wasn't too worried about who he was going to impress, was he? He was upset. He was extremely upset, and rightfully so. But Jesus was upset because the people had turned the house of God into a marketplace and into a business. And I ask you, does that sound familiar yet today? How many times do you hear someone say, "We can't preach the truth about God's laws and God's commands because it may hurt or offend someone"? How many churches today around the world are more worried about making church look like a successful business rather than a place to teach the truth and learn about God's holy word? At this point in time, all the religious leaders, they're upset with Jesus. They could not physically get to him. They wanted to physically get to him and stop him. And yet, even though they were unable to do this, this did not stop the religious leaders. They still knew in their minds that they needed to get rid of this threat. And they're looking for a way to get rid of this threat, because this threat is a concern for their very financial lives. And this threat, as they perceived it, was named Jesus. And as we continue in Luke, we look at Luke chapter 20, verses 9 through 18. And Jesus is telling the parable of the vine growers. And we're not going to read that parable, but you can see when you read that, that the chief priest and the scribes, they were really upset about this parable. In fact, in Luke chapter 20, verse 19, it says, "The scribes and the Pharisees tried to lay hands on him that very hour, and they feared the people, for they understood that he spoke this parable against them." They knew he was talking about them. And that angered them even more. But they knew the people were following Jesus. And they also knew that if anything was going to happen to them, they did not want it to look like they had anything to do with it. And Jesus here, Jesus is going completely against Hoyle according to mainstream Christianity today. Today's Christianity tells us not to try to be different. We're all the same because we're all sinners. And all we need to do is love each other. That's the most important thing. And I've become very concerned about this philosophy because we are to love each other. But when we have nothing more to offer the world, then we're not really any better than anything else they already have. Even sinners love sinners. Jesus is making a very clear distinction between what he can and will do for the nation of Israel and what the religious leaders of the day could do for the people. Jesus is continually pointing the people toward the truth and towards himself. It is the truth that is driving a wedge between what Jesus has to offer and what the religious leaders of the day had to offer. And this is what was causing so much problems. This is what was causing so much trouble. And in Luke chapter 20, verses 46 and 47, Jesus issues a warning. He said, "Beware of the scribes who look to walk around in long robes and love respectful greetings in the marketplace and chief seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets, who devour widows' houses and for appearances' sake offer long prayers. They will receive greater condemnation." At this point in time, the scribes had been so revered and so respected by the people that they were given the title of rabbi. And the word rabbi means my master or teacher. And they were proud of this title. They wanted to be in control. They showed their pride by the way that they dressed in the long robes. They thought they were royalty. And they expected to be treated like royalty. And along comes Jesus, and he questions their authority, and he questions their power. And in turn, Jesus is becoming a big threat to their finances and to their social status. And in this day and age, their social status meant a great deal. And Jesus is now showing the nation of Israel what these so-called religious leaders are really like. Jesus is giving them real authority, and he has showed them real power in his miracles. And now the loyalties of the people are being divided. And as you think about that, you realize people have not changed too much over the years. These people are no different. They were following what met their needs at the time. They're being pulled in any and every direction, and it just depended upon the needs and the circumstances. And despite everything that is going on, despite all that is happening around him, Jesus knows that this is a very critical time in his ministry. And Jesus begins to talk once again about his second coming. He's trying to make sure the disciples understand that his kingdom is not to be established right now. And he knows this is probably going to be his last opportunity to tell them one more time about his second coming before his death and before he's crucified. Still in Luke, let's look at chapter 21, And let's look at verses 25 through 28. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "There will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth dismay among nations, and perplexity at the roaring of the sea and waves. Men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Jesus knows full well the importance of this particular time. He knows what his immediate future really is. But he wants to make sure that the disciples have an understanding of just how important the day of his second coming is as well. Jesus needs to make sure they understand what's going to happen. They understand how important it is. And this should be a lesson for each and every one of us. We need to stay focused on the job that God has given us to do, no matter what. And despite the fact that these men were plotting and devising ways to get rid of Jesus, he still continued preaching and teaching and doing the will of his Father and our Father. And we too must strive to continually doing the will of God. We must stay focused, no matter what the distraction is around us. Jesus never let anyone lead him astray from his real purpose. The Jewish leaders, they can feel their great power slipping away, so they devise a plot to trap and to eventually kill Jesus. In Luke chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, we touched base a little bit about this last week. Luke 22, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. The chief priests and the scribes were seeking how they might put him to death, for they were afraid of the people." It's from this point on that they devise a plot so they can capture Jesus. The feast of unleavened bread was a pilgrimage feast. They knew. The scribes and the Pharisees knew that there would be a lot of people there. They knew it was going to be a crowd. But they didn't want to hurt their reputation. "We want him killed, we want him dead, but we don't want to be involved. We don't want it to look like it was our fault. We don't want it to look like we had anything to do with it. And how are we going to do it? Because there's going to be a crowd of people here." Later on, Judas betrays Jesus, and Jesus is turned over to the Sanhedrin, which was the highest Jewish council in the Greek and Roman periods. Jesus was mocked and beaten, and the very person, the very man who swore no matter what he would never ever deny Jesus, would deny him three times before the night was over. Jesus rode in. Jesus rode into town as a trusted and revered king. And now he is being beaten and rejected, and rejected by those who said they would never leave him. Never before has Jesus felt such rejection from his disciples and from his followers. We know in Matthew 27, starting in verse 20, that the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for the release of Barabbas. And in Matthew 27:23, the crowds hollered, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Jesus went from king to crucified. Jesus went from king to crucified. What exactly was it about Jesus that bothered the scribes and the Pharisees so much? Did they reject him because they were losing control? Did they reject Jesus because he challenged their ideas and their philosophies? The reality is, and the truth is, that Jesus what he spoke and what he taught, it not only challenged their security, but it challenged the very foundation of their laws and their own commands. How many people reject Jesus today because they're afraid to let go of their own insecurities? How many people reject Jesus because they really do not understand who he is? In today's world, there are so many things that distract us and turn us away from Jesus. There are so many voices in the world that tell us there's something better than Jesus, and how they are all so wrong. They are all so very wrong. The media, the educational system, our government, they're all trying to remove Jesus from mainstream society, aren't they? Someday we might be mocked and ridiculed just like Jesus was. Are we ready for that day? Will we remain strong, or will we reject Jesus just like Peter did and run and hide? I pray that we will not allow all the powerful screaming voices of today's society weaken our faith and our devotion to Jesus Christ. Thank you, and may God bless.